the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out the robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked him what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, it's the fourth Sunday of Lent. That's usually considered something rather special in the part of Lent, although people can't altogether agree as to what we should call it. In churches of the Latin Rite, it's called Laetare Sunday, Rejoice Sunday, from the first word of the antiphon on that day. some other places it is called Refreshment Sunday. And in the Anglican tradition, it is mostly called Mothering Sunday. It's a little unclear just why that is, because partly of the reading we heard at Matins, Jerusalem, the mother of us all, is above and is free. But the other side of it is it's a day in the middle of Lent to rejoice. Traditionally, on Mothering Sunday, you visit your home parish, your mother church, or failing that, the cathedral, or even more importantly, you call your mother. And in England, which doesn't have a secular Mother's Day, Mothering Sunday is the day to celebrate your mother, and that's the day she gets you to go to church. In any case, what are we to make of this? What are we celebrating? Well, one of the sisters of the St. Helena, our companion order, put it perfectly when she was heard to say during the Thanksgivings, "Thank God, Lent is half over." Well, we still have to ask ourselves what this gospel is about. And it's about something rather special. It's the story of the prodigal son. Now, that's something which I think all of us feel very good about. I need to give you a little full disclosure right at the beginning. I'm the elder son. I have complete sympathy with the elder son in this story. It sounds terribly familiar. Now, that implies I also have a younger brother who's now an infant of 70. And I can tell you he got away with murder. Now, don't anyone tell me, don't anyone call him in California to tell him I said this, but I'm actually kind of proud to be my brother's brother. He's turned into a very fine man and a fine father. Okay. That said, let's get back at what this parable is all about. And it isn't so much about the brothers themselves or the father. It's a very complex parable. If you read the whole thing through, you can see all sorts of hooks for a preacher. But there's something there in between that I wanted to think about a little bit, and that is the fact that we are reading this from a lectionary. Lectionaries are lists of the selections of the Bible that we read. And the good news about them is that we don't have to read a whole chapter, which is what used to be done. The bad news is that sometimes when we skip something, we don't entirely know what it is we've missed. Now, in between the opening bit of today's gospel and the beginning of the parable of the prodigal son, we have two other parables. One is the parable of the lost sheep. That is the shepherd who has 100 sheep, goes out and looks for him and comes back and is so happy with one, he gets all his friends to come back and rejoice that he has found the missing sheep. And he's happier over that than the others. Now, I have need to point out before I go on to say that we're not told why, you know. It's possible the sheep is supposed to be lunch. In any case, the next one is the one who is called, who has lost 5 pieces of silver, loses one, sweeps the house, finds all and brings it home, and calls her neighbors together and says, "Look, I found my silver piece. Let's rejoice." I can't resist telling you that in the good old days when in the Roman Catholic Church, the Latin Mass was being churched to what was called the vernacular. Somebody said that was good. Certainly not English. But one of the things in this is they translated silver piece in this as dime. I ought to say in those days dimes still had silver in them. In any case, so the thing is, at the end of the gospel, she gets up and says, "Come, rejoice with me, I have found the dime that I have lost." So it was known as the Five Dimes Gospel. And someone said, "Well, we can rejoice, all right. We'll go out and buy a packet of Kool-Aid and have a party." Well, what's interesting is that in each case, not only here, not only in the parable of the shepherd, but in the parable of the lost piece of silver, the person invites everyone she knows or he knows to come and rejoice with them over something that the others are not going to get part of. It's just something to rejoice in their happiness. Now we say, what does that have to do with the parable of the prodigal son? It's what the father says at the end. Now, the son has trotted out his grievance, and boy, can I relate to this. That is, that the father has never so much as given him the kid to have a party with his friends. Okay, well, that sounds right. That's beyond his inheritance. But now he's killed the fatted calf for the younger brother who comes home, who, by the way, is not getting his inheritance back. And then he says, why? He says, "You were always with me," to his son. "All that is mine is yours, but we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." That is, you're rejoicing in the other person, not rejoicing anything he has. This younger brother is still the little brother, right? But at the same time, he's being shown great love simply for being who he is. Now, that's a wonderful thought. I think all of us would like to be loved that way. The only trouble is, when you think about it, it's not too easy to do, is it? Now, especially that's true where you're loving, rejoicing in somebody else's good, in the person themselves and something good that's happened to them that doesn't apply to you. Now, sometimes that's relatively easy to do. There is a young man in Florida, just in the news, who was playing a sport and was paralyzed and had an accident on the field and was paralyzed from the waist, from the chest down. They were sure he would never, ever walk again. And by hard work, hard effort, and everything else, he's portrayed in the news, walking out of the hospital under his own power, surrounded by people rejoicing in that fact. And when you look at it, you just can't help the delight in this. Now then there are other things which are a little harder to take. I have a good example of this with my brother. You can tell him all about this, he's heard it. I was 6 years old. As an infant and a younger boy growing up, my mother always made pancakes on Sunday. And on Sunday, it was my privilege, after I'd gotten hold of not to let go, for her to guide my hand to pour the batter onto the skillet. Oh, it was a great thing, big, important part of me. Well, one day when I was 6 years old, I came into the kitchen and some other kid was pouring the batter, my brother, a usurper. Did I rejoice in this joy? I did not. I threw a wonderful tantrum, but it did me no good whatever. And I think for most of us, when we're coming up with good for other people, we're sort of in between the tantrum and the joy. The point is, of this parable is, the father's telling his son that this younger son is not getting anything extra, thank you. This son is getting something, is getting something extra. He's not getting some new part of the older son's inheritance. He squandered that already. This is a out of his heart, expression of love, rejoicing in the good that has happened to the other. Now, I'd like to suggest that that is, in many ways, the goal of the Christian life, is to learn to rejoice in the good, not only that happens to ourselves, but in what happens to other people. And in rejoicing in those people precisely the way they are. I don't suppose the young man who had finally been brought to his senses by starving to death after running out of money at the brothel is now coming back a changed person entirely. But he's made the first step. And what the Father expects is for his dearly beloved son to join him in rejoicing. Now, I would like to suggest that that is the thing that all of us have to spend Lent doing. Learning how to rejoice fully in all those other people who aren't always so easy to be with or to love. Including ourselves. And that's something which is a wonderful thing. Now, there is one thing you shouldn't do. Don't try to manufacture fake feelings. You know, that is to say, I'm going to feel loving about that kid if it kills me. Well, you won't do it. You need to learn to accept them as everything, God as everything, and God as the center of things. And then let go. And somehow, the two of you and all of you will come out together. And who knows? You know, that fatted calf might taste pretty good. So let us all proceed with Lent, learning to love fully ourselves, others, and those around us. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, be ascribed as is most justly due, Almighty Majesty. Power, dominion, and praise. Oh, and by the way, don't forget to call your mother.